Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast. I'm Hort Week editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with David Hedges-Gower of the Lawn Association. In March, David hit the headlines when he got into a no-mow row with Gardeners World presenter Monty Don, who told the Radio Times, "Cutting grass burns lots of fossil fuel, makes a filthy noise, and is about the most injurious thing you can do to wildlife." Now, David hit back saying that Monty was wrong, and lawn care is now greener than what the TV gardener thinks it is. So, David, are you and Monty mates now?
I don't think we'll ever be mates. Somebody who's very passionate about lawns and somebody that doesn't like them very much at all. I don't think that we'd have much to talk about in the pub, let's be fair. And I certainly don't think I'll be on his Christmas card list anytime soon either. I get very frustrated with when people that aren't particularly educated in lawn care come out and probably do damage to a point. There'll be people that do listen to him that thinks he knows more about lawn care than me. So yes, he has a detrimental effect on something that he doesn't particularly know about, and that's frustrating. That annoys me because I know that lawns and grass is the most sustainable plant we have on this planet. You know, it covers 27% of our planet, so you know we need it. We can look after it better. So yeah, the first thing I would say to him is, you know, keep your mouth shut when it comes to lawns and carry on with your brilliant presenting.
Your piece with Monty got massive publicity, but did he have any good points to make? I mean, what about the fossil fuel point or the wildlife one?
Well, I think the, you know, that we've got no mow May, haven't we, going at the moment, which you know, I absolutely support. And I personally think no mow May is not good enough. I think we should have no mow March to October. So when he talks about, you know, letting rewilding happen within gardens, yes, if you've got a big enough garden, I think absolutely right. I mean, I have no concerns over that. The burning of fossil fuels is a very interesting one. I think by 2025, I got my doubts whether most of the retail industry will be even allowed to sell petrol mowers. So we're way, way ahead of that. Now, whether Monty knows that, I don't know. We've obviously got robotic mowers already and have done for many years. In fact, I'm doing some trials with the National Trust at the moment, trying to look at some more sustainable ways. So I think to a point, yes, he's pointing out some of the issues which I think I have a disagreement with, and that's the use of herbicides, which will do far more damage, to our lawns than anything else. I'm not going to mention any brand names, but we've all been sold that dream of a weed-free lawn. Well, I don't believe that that's a particularly good one, and it's not a sustainable one. So, yes, he's got some very valid points. I just don't think he's educated enough.
Do you think what he said has damaged the industry, though? Has it damaged sales of mowers or products, or just the whole idea of having a nice lawn?
No, I don't think it would, to be perfectly honest. I remember somebody asking somebody, I think it was at Gardener's World, or it may have been the RHS, and I said, well, what do you find from lawn care itself? You know, what interest do you have in it? And they said, well, nobody ever asks us, so you know, people don't really listen to us either. And I think that's true with Monty to a point. You know, if you want to learn about lawn care, why would you go to Monty Don? He's a presenter and a brilliant one. He's not a lawn expert. The way I look at myself as being a lawn consultant is somebody to educate, and that's educate in what's going on at the core of lawn care, and that's the difference. You know, I know exactly what's going on. I know where the companies are and where they'll be in years to come. I'm always looking at better products, more sustainable products, and yeah, Monty's not doing that, so why would you go to him? We do because he's a TV celebrity.
It's interesting what you mentioned about the petrol mowers not being around by, you know, 2025, maybe. Do you think robotic mowers will take over? I mean, is that actually going to be by law?
It very much depends. I think it's like a lot of these things. If the public get behind it, I don't see any reason why not. I got to admit, I mean, I'm a big fan of robotic mowers. You know, the one thing that mowers do is prune grass. We have two pruning techniques. That's one of them. And we've still got probably a society that a hell of a lot of people look at lawn care and mowing lawns as a chore. And, you know, when you can send a mower out 7 days a week and use no energy and no fossil fuel, it's got to be beneficial. So I wouldn't say it would be law, but I think the better they get, I suppose the one thing that we do want, and this is from probably some of the more enthusiastic lawn people, they want a robot that mows a stripe, and we currently don't have that.
But what more than that, they want one which is affordable. Do you think the prices of the robotics is going to go down anytime soon?
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, yeah, I talked to many of the bigger ones like Husqvarna and Honda, and they all say that obviously the more they sell, the cheaper they'll be. There are some very affordable ones out there. And it's interesting that somebody somewhere did a bit of research on a football pitch as to, I think it was on the Gadget Show. They went to a football groundsman and asked him which one was best. And I kind of thought, well, I don't know quite what is best out of a robotic mower. I mean, affordability is probably the big one that, as you say, stops people from buying them at the present time. And it's the one thing that, if they do want to make it affordable, it would obviously increase their sales.
Now, one big issue that's risen recently is, I say recently, it's been around for a long time. I remember QPR's bouncy pitch in the 1970s is artificial turf, AstroTurf. And somebody's done a petition saying, make the installation of AstroTurf, which is quite a retro term, require planning permission.
Yeah.
And it's got signed by a lot of people, like tens of thousands. What do you reckon? Do you think there should be planning permission required for AstroTurf?
You know, I started a petition sometime before that one. And there was one or two others before that. And mine was about regulation, and how that regulation would be interpreted, I don't know. But there's one obviously banning it. There's one, this latest one, talking about planning permission. I think personally that there's a point to it. Whether it's different than regulation, I don't know. At the moment, it's out of control. I hate the stuff. You know, there's a lot of disbelief about how bad this is for the environment to make the product. The disposal of it, people think it goes to landfill. It cannot go to landfill. It's illegal to go to landfill, and it's illegal to burn it. You know, these things get stockpiled. We never get shown those pictures, unfortunately. So, yeah, whether it needs planning permission, I don't know, but it certainly needs some form of strict regulation. But I don't think it helps when I don't know. I haven't done it for the publicity, but what's the point in having four different ones? You know, we'd be better off just having one and everybody signing that. But, you know, whether people are looking to make a name for themselves, I don't know. But I'd like it regulated very, very soon. We've gone past the point of it being late, too late. That was many years ago.
Sports turf. That is another area where there's a lot of work being done and very highly looked after type of turf, including elements of artificial turf in it. So what's your view about where sports turf's at in comparison to turf that might be a stately home or a country garden? Is sports turf teaching us anything at the moment?
It's teaching us how to be unsustainable. It's in my opinion, don't get me wrong. I mean, I remember as a young lad, my brother was a professional footballer. I remember standing on the pitch as a young lad at Molineux, Wolverhampton Wanderers, and looking at four little corners of grass where the corners were taken, and the rest of it was a beach. It was disgusting. And when you look at the pitches nowadays, we tend to think, because they look great at the end of the season, we tend to think that, you know, these people must be superb at doing their job. And don't get me wrong, I think it's a very different skill set. But the biggest issue with football is that template is completely unsustainable in any environment whatsoever, unless it's a controlled environment like football. You know, these have obviously huge training pitches. They use huge amounts of sand in their constructions, their reconstructions every year. They use huge amounts of fossil fuel. They use huge amounts of fertilizer to make them look green and stripy, and huge amounts of water at the same time, and then huge amounts of plastic being inserted as well. That's not sustainable. It's just sadly affordable because the Premier League have huge amounts of money, which in no question about it, gets filtered down somewhere to lower leagues as well. I think it's just showing us how unsustainable that can be. And if I'm honest, and I will be honest, the only reason they do it is to remove a grass called annual meadow grass. That's what this design, this wonderful renewal of football pitches is done for. It's not to do with anything else other than the TV cameras picking out power on a blotchy looking football pitch. And that goes back to, I don't remember which World Cup, but it was viewed on one of the pitches in the World Cup. And basically they sort of took this idea that because we can't remove annual meadow grass, that you start with a new pitch every season.
How could they be more sustainable in the Premier League, for instance?
Well, quite difficult in this sort of modern era, because, you know, it's not just a football pitch now, it's a showcase. We had a few years ago where the football groundsmen were being applauded because they put ridiculous patterns in for no reason, which didn't make any team play any better or worse, of course. And eventually they thank goodness stopped that. But that turned into its own little show. I think Leicester were one of the worst at it. Don't get me wrong, great mowing skills. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, when you actually looked at how much fossil fuel and how many man hours to cut that pitch like that, it had no resemblance on the football played by the football team itself. So, you know, we've gone too far. We've gone too far. But, you know, it's a big money pit and lots of people are enjoying that money pit in football. And that goes down to the seed companies, the fertilizer companies, the water companies, you name it. They don't see a problem. And why would they?
What about you yourself, David? What projects are you working on at the moment?
You know, COVID had an enormous effect on my consultancy. I've had to do lots of consultancy from home, which is a little bit tricky without being able to see many of the states that I've gone to. But it's opened up quite a lot. So I'm still doing lots of things like that. But my main thing now is the Lawn Association. Its ideology is really about sustainability in lawn care. We've got ranges of a new range of organic feed, which is very, very exciting, something we're putting into the retail market. And we're just looking to educate people in the most sustainable way to look after lawns. And that it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of planning. We've been looking at getting, I suppose, small machines that are going to be a bit unique to the industry as well. But we're doing it from what I would call an expert's perspective. So if we're going to feed a lawn, I want the best sustainable feed. If we want to apply it, I want to be able to use the best application tool that I know that homeowners can use easily as well. So it's all about sustainability. It's all about education. But yes, that's taking an enormous amount of time up. But it's good. I train gardeners all over the country, even into Europe as well. So it's what I enjoy, but it does take up an awful lot of time because I don't stop. I can be emailing somebody in Italy talking about, their irrigation system at 1 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't say I get off on it, but I enjoy it because I'm trying to help people. So yes, there's lots going on. We've got a new online learning course as well, which is derived from my book. So again, that's something that COVID sort of brought forward, I suppose. So hopefully homeowners will be able to learn lawn care from my book perspective, which again talks about sustainability and simplicity as well.
What about the project you are working on, Hidcote? What sort of issues do they have?
Yeah, one of the ones that I'm working on currently is Hidcote. I'm gonna go back to sports turf here. They've got three particular lawns: the old garden border, the red garden, and the stilts. Three very, very important small bits of lawn, which were reconstructed a number of years ago with the football pitch ideology. They put this product in called fiber sand, which is sand with fibers in for binding roots together, apparently. And they put in football pitch grasses and basically spent ridiculous amounts of money for 300 square meters of lawn. And obviously these are important because they are traffic areas for showcasing the beautiful borders within those three areas. So I was called in purely because the hard wearing grass, which is lovely sounding, had worn away. Ryegrass that's used in football pitches and sports turf is hard wearing as it needs to be. Equally, if you don't maintain grass very well, it's not hard wearing at all. It will die like any other plant. So what we found here was the wrong species of grass were trying to be grown in there. They're 2 meter wide walkways with 150,000 people being trafficked up and down it every year. Which they were having to shut off because of the wrong grass species. So when we started, I think we went into lockdown, the first lockdown, on the day we actually started work on them. So it's been a little bit of a battle, but we without reconstructing and getting rid of, a sand root zone in there, which has got no goodness, obviously, whatsoever, we've sort of worked with what we've got. The National Trust doesn't have a bottomless pit, sadly, like the football clubs. So we've got to work with what we've got. We're putting the correct species of grass in there, which are the ones that grow all over the National Trust and all over the UK. And they're ones that redevelop. They're ones that regenerate when we prune them. Ryegrasses won't. Ryegrass has one seed, one plant, never turns into two. Hence why football pitches have to completely renew them all the time. They never wear out, of course, and therefore they could actually be prolonged, but they don't. So yes, we've done that, and obviously our biggest job is to try and build up bacteria levels in that very inert football pitch root zone that we've got underneath those lawns. So we've got lots and lots of biological products in there, working on increasing bacteria levels to get roots working at the moment and plants surviving, and that's the key to that one.
Is that typical of one of your projects, or have you got others which are similar?
Certainly. I mean, that's obviously on all the trust places that I visit and consult at. They all have very similar issues. They all have these pinch points. Those gardens, as you know, weren't designed for putting huge amounts of traffic through. So they all have incredibly similar problems. Hidcote's for example, is this very small garden in comparison to many of the others. I think they've got something like 10,000 square meters of lawn in total, and that includes everything. Most have acres and acres and acres, which can allow traffic to move across as well. So they're quite unique, but everyone's got a ridiculous pinch point somewhere, certainly private estates, whether they're open to the public or whatever they may be. So like I say, it's more the principle of what we're trying to do in keeping grass cover, which is all very similar.
And what about for the future for you, David? What do you want to do? What are your ambitions?
You're the first person that's ever asked me that. I didn't really. I mean, it's strange because I'm one of these that gets bored very easily, and I flick from one thing to another very, very quickly as well. You know, I do see this association as quite a big thing. I'd like to still continue educating to a point. In terms of ambition, I wouldn't say I have ambition to TV. I certainly don't have an ambition to be a TV presenter or anything like that. I'm very much somebody who likes to sit in the background, and if I can continue to educate, I will. And that's probably the biggest ambition I have, is to continue educating homeowners especially, because I think they're let down more than anybody else. We've got lots of advice in specialized areas, but it's the unspecialized, it's the poor homeowner who, and I this is how nerdy I am. I mean, I've sat in garden centers and watched people staring at the boxes of extreme green, or you know, lawn thickener, or whatever the marketing people are spinning these days, and the bamboozled of, you know, people's faces are just a perplexed mess, unfortunately. And that makes me think, well, what are they taught? They're not taught anything. What they're taught is to make something look pretty on the surface, and when it doesn't work, put another one down, and when it doesn't work, put another one down. And that frustrates me, that we've got millions of homeowners who probably have given up with their lawns to a point because they've been advised badly, because they're not given the best products to use. And they're certainly not given the best advice to use them either. So that's a big project to me, and it will keep me busy for a number of years. I'm 56 in a couple of weeks, so I don't say I'll have early retirement. I probably never will, but that'll keep me busy for the next few years, I'm sure.
Brilliant, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for that, David. There's plenty of opinion and insight there on lawn care. So thanks very much to David Hedges-Gower. I'm Matthew Appleby, and thanks for listening to the Horticulture Week podcast. Make sure you never miss one. Subscribe to or follow Hort Week podcasts via Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Once again, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.